This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
You cannot explain all the things that have happened in your life, and if you can, you're really rare. The things that happened in your marriage, things that happened in your health, there are things that happened with your children, there are things that happened with your parents that you cannot explain. You can't say, well, here's why it happened, because A happened, then B happened, and C happened. We don't have the answers to everything that happens in our lives. Today, Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, says life is unpredictable. And I want to prove that to you by doing an experiment with everybody here. I want all of you to take your mind back to 2003. Think of where you were working, where you were living, where you were in terms of your marriage. Did you perceive and predict everything that was going to happen in the next 10 years? Did you have a clue? No, you didn't, and neither did I. Did you know what was going to happen with you personally in health situation? Did you know what was going to happen in your marriage? Did you have everything figured out with your children? No, the answer is definitely no, because life is unpredictable. But at the end of the message today, I'm going to give you three things. So I want you to be ready to write these down at the end of the message. Three things that are predictable that involve the Lord in your life and in my life. Let's look at the passage. It's in Ecclesiastes 9, beginning at verse 11. Solomon's the writer, and he says this, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong. Nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance, or time and occurrence, really is what that word chance means, occurrence, happen to them all. Moreover, no man or woman knows when his hour will come. What hour? The hour of your death. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. I want to jump right into this because it's almost humorous talking about the race is not to the swift. Some of you, not all of you, but some of you will remember the 2002 Winter Olympics. There was a speed skater by the name of Steve Bradbury from Australia. He was not that fast of a runner, but somehow through a series of events, he made it to the finals. And he's one of five skaters in a 1,000-meter race. If you're familiar with the 1,000-meter competition, it's very fast because it's just a short distance. And his coach said, Steve, I've got some advice for you. You're not going to win this race. All four of the other people you're competing against are much faster than you are. Just face reality. But here's what you should do. I want you to stay back, hold back maybe 10 or 15 meters, 30, 45 feet back. And I think there's a good chance as the competition becomes fierce for those four other skaters, two of them may collide as they approach the finish line and they'll fall down and at least you may come in third and win the bronze medal. He said, it's not a bad idea. So you know what happened? He held back and as fate would have it, all four of the first four skaters collided together near the finish line. Went down and he just went around them like this, you know, kind of angled around them and said, excuse me, gentlemen, and then put his arms up and won the gold medal. And he's called the accidental gold medalist of the 2002 Olympics, famous in Australia, had a TV show for a while, Steve Bradbury, you can find him on the internet. The race doesn't always go to the swift.
Well, maybe you can think of examples of that statement, the race doesn't always go to the swift. Remember, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to listen to any message you may have missed on Cross Hope. God bless you. Well, yesterday on Cross Hope, we began the sixth message in a series from the book of Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon. The title of the series is called Futile, The Meaning of Life. Solomon is actually quite cynical in the way he looks at life and death and the mysteries of life and death. Last week we talked about how life was unexplainable from chapter 7. By the way, chapter 7 is called the most difficult chapter of the most difficult book of the Bible by one Bible scholar. That's where we were last week. This week, chapter 9, talking about how life is unpredictable. Let it speak to you today and all this week.
The race doesn't always go to the swift. He was the slowest of five, but he won. Or the battle to the strong. All of us that, if you've done any reading about the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, you can give examples from history of where a small force defeated a larger force. The people that should have lost that battle were the people who won. So the battle doesn't always go to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and occurrence happen to them all. I doubt if anybody here knows a name of a man by the name of Christopher Langen. Christopher has been dubbed the smartest guy in America. Albert Einstein had an IQ, an intelligence quotient, of 160 to 170. This guy, Christopher Langen, was determined he had an IQ of somewhere between 195 and 210. A man who tests people and does the IQ test said he, in 25 years, he never tested anyone smarter than Christopher Langen. He was so bright, he was conversing with people at 6 months of age. He was reading by the time he was three, constantly put ahead in school, the smartest guy that anyone had ever met. And yet you say, well, he must have had a great job and been very successful. No, that's not the case. He had a string of labor-intensive jobs. By his mid-40s, he'd been a construction worker, a cowboy, a Forest Service firefighter, a farmhand. For over 20 years, he was a bouncer at a bar in Long Island. For 20 years. He said he developed a double life strategy. On one side, a regular guy doing his job and exchanging pleasantries with people. And on the other side, coming home to perform complex equations in his mind, in his head, working in isolation on his cognitive theoretic model of the universe. Brilliant guy. IQ of 195 to 210 and was a bouncer at a bar for 20 years. Good things don't just come to the learned or to the brilliant, but time and occurrence happen to them all. You say, what's your point in telling that? Solomon is simply making an observation of life that the people you think are going to be successful aren't necessarily the successful people. And those people that you wrote off in your past from high school and said, what a loser, is now the president of a company. Very successful. And so we can't always make determinations based on the race going to the swift, to the fastest, the battle going to the strongest, or the rewards going to the most learned. That's not the way life is, that things happen to good people that are bad. Things happen that are bad to bad people. And good things happen, bad things happen to everyone. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But then it really comes to a head in verse 12 where Solomon says, no man or woman knows when his hour will come. Do you know what that's referring to? Your death.
Well, that's where we have to end with a dramatic verse. We'll continue with this verse tomorrow on Cross Hope. Remember our website, crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org. God bless you. Now then, today, part three of a message we began on Monday from Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, that talks about how life is unpredictable. In fact, the verse we're specifically discussing right now is chapter 9, verse 12, that says, as fish are caught in a cruel net, or as birds are taken in a snare, so men and women are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. Good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. That's part of the lesson we illustrate today as we continue this series called Futile, The Meaning of Life.
Since our daughter and son-in-law went to Patch Army Barracks in Stuttgart, Germany, to work as a civilian, I have been very much interested in World War II history in general, so I've really been interested in what happened in Stuttgart, Southwest Germany during World War II. Stuttgart's the place where Daimler is. It's the place where Porsche is. And so during World War II, I found out through my research that 53 times, the Royal Air Force and the 8th Air Force of the United States bombed the city of Stuttgart. I didn't know this statistic was even available till I found it. They have determined that 142,000 bombs were dropped on the city of Stuttgart. 142,000, 250, 500-pound bombs were dropped on the city of Stuttgart. So much rubble, 15 million cubic meters of rubble at the end of the war, that somebody in the city government said, let's make a mountain, literally a mountain, out of the rubble. And it's now the highest point in Stuttgart, Germany, a mountain of rubble. And you can climb up a path, which I did while I was there, and stood at the top. And at the top of the mountain, you can see parts of buildings where the name of the building is still visible, and a column from another building is sticking up out of the ground. And all this rubble, 15 million cubic meters of rubble. And you know what towers over all of it? A 40-foot cross. And instantly I thought of the hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, talking about the cross of Christ towers not only over a hill of rubble in Stuttgart, Germany, but the cross of Christ towers over a wreck like you and me and the wrecks of our lives, showing forth the truth and where the hope is. It's in the cross of Christ and everything Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. Now, here's my point in talking about Stuttgart. Only 55% of the people in Germany voted for Hitler. 45% of the population, people will tell you this when you talk to them in Germany today, 45% of us didn't vote for Hitler. And so in Stuttgart, there were Christian people, people who were God-fearing, who went to church every Sunday in Stuttgart, but 4,000 of them lost their lives, which is considered actually a low number for the city, only 4,000. That's how they talk about it. We only lost 4,000 people during the bombing of Stuttgart. And yet those people were non-combatants. They weren't fighting. They didn't vote for Hitler, and yet they were caught in what Solomon called, fish are caught in a cruel net, birds are taken in a snare, so men and women are trapped in evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. What's my point? There have been times in your life that you've experienced something ugly, something evil, something frightening. Because evil things happen in life, and God isn't punishing you. He's not saying, I'm really going to show you how bad you are by punishing you. You may be surprised that God may reveal himself in those times.
Well, that may be a new thought for somebody today, that God may actually reveal himself to you and to me in difficult times that happen, that befall us in life, that Solomon said fall unexpectedly upon us. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Annie and I have a friend who lives in Colorado Springs. His name is Jeff. Jeff went with a group of people, co-workers, to tour the World Trade Center on Monday, September 10th, 2001. They weren't sure if they were going to go Monday or if they were going to go Tuesday. And, you know, they were with a group of people. They said, well, let's do the Statue of Liberty and let's do the Broadway shows. And so somebody said, well, let's do the World Trade Center on Monday. And he was on top of the building looking down over New York City the day before 9/11. Do you think it's crossed Jeff's mind more than once? What if the group leader said Tuesday we're going to the World Trade Center? He said, I would have been on top of the building when those planes hit. We went first thing in the morning. And it's crossed his mind many times of how that things happen, both good and bad. In his case, he was spared because of an occurrence that happened in his life. There are things that have happened that you could not predict would happen in your life personally, corporately, career-wise. We just don't have a handle on anything like that because life is based on occurrence. Things happen. And some of you read Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for His Highest, famous devotional book. He says this, God disciplines us by our disappointments. Life may have been going on like a torrent, then suddenly comes down a barrier of disappointment until slowly we learn that the disappointment was God's appointment. God hides his treasures in the darkness, and many a radiant star that wasn't seen before comes out. In some lives you can see the treasure. There's a sweetness and a beauty about them, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And you wonder, where did that person get that? Where did they get that kind of power? And you say, must be good people. Well, they went through some tragedies. What happened? It came from the dark places where God revealed His will in unexpected and unpredicted things in their life. And that is absolutely true. I never was a big fan of the music, and I'm not slamming him at all, but I wasn't a fan of Eric Clapton, the guitar player, great guitar player, noted rock star. But he wrote a song that caught my attention years ago called Tears in Heaven, I think is the correct title. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on, because I know I don't belong here in heaven. During his career, Eric Clapton had faced heroin addiction and the pain of shattered relationships with a number of women. Finally, he seemed to have found peace and maturity as a parent. But he wrote Tears in Heaven after a terrible thing that happened. Some of you have heard this, know where I'm going with this. After the accidental death of his 4-year-old son, who fell from a 53rd floor apartment in 91 in New York City. His song was named Record of the Year, and at the 35th Annual Grammy Awards, he sang the song. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart. Have you begging, please? Beyond their door, there's peace, I'm sure, and I know that there'll be no more tears in heaven. I don't know where Eric Clapton stands with the Lord God Almighty. I really don't. I don't want to be presumptuous either way. But I'll tell you this, he's absolutely right. There are no tears in heaven. The book of Revelation says God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every tear that you have shed, God said, I'll wipe it away in heaven.
Well, I don't know about you, but that's quite a promise that the Lord makes to every believer, that He'll wipe away every tear in heaven. This message from the book of Ecclesiastes will continue tomorrow. The series is called Futile, The Meaning of Life. This message is called Unpredictable, that life is unpredictable. We'll continue tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
And the point is this, we will have bad things. We will have experiences that are negative. But I want to give you right now, and I want you to write these down, those of you that will, three things that are predictable in an unpredictable world. Number one, the love of God is predictable. The love of God is predictable. Number two, the forgiveness of Christ is predictable. The forgiveness of Christ. And thirdly, eternal life with the Lord is predictable. Eternal life. Let's talk about love, the love of God being predictable. John 3:16, of course, says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Do you realize if that statement's true, what that means in your life? Forget about what it means to the person next to you or the people behind you. What's it mean to you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever, me, you, whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. The love of God is predictable. Romans 5:8 says that God commended or demonstrated, manifested His love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is predictable. The forgiveness of Christ is predictable. There's one verse of the Bible that I share with more people than any other verse of the Bible. Do you know what it is? Some of you have heard this on the radio recently. I said, the one verse that I share routinely with people is 1 John 1:9. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen grown men, when I quote that verse, tears just stream down their face. Grown women, when I quote that verse to them, tears just form in their eyes. Do you know what the verse says? If we confess our sin, He, meaning Christ, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know why people shed tears when they hear that? Because that's the greatest need of their life, to be forgiven. Your greatest need isn't to win the lottery. Your greatest need isn't to be happy. Your greatest need is to be forgiven. So is my greatest need. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thirdly, the third thing I love to tell people at every funeral, eternal life is promised by Jesus in John 14, who said this, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, That's where you'll be. I go to prepare a place for you. You've heard me say this before, but the word place in the Greek is the word topos. We get the word topographical. Jesus wasn't talking about something in the sweet by and by, something mystical, something Disneyland type thing. He's talking about a real place. I go to prepare a place for you, a topos, that where I am, there you will be also. In an unpredictable world, there's three things that are predictable. The love of God, the forgiveness of Christ, and eternal life through His Son. You know what your choice is? To fall under the heading of the unpredictability of life, and it's all up to chance, it's all up to occurrence, and whatever happens, what que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Or, I'm going to trust in the love of God, the forgiveness of Christ, and the promise of eternal life. Decide. Choose today what your decision will be. Let's pray together.
Well, if there's ever a message you hear on CrossHope, I hope you do know you can go to our website, crosshope.org, to listen to any message, including this one, that you may have missed. Our website again is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org, to find out more about a ministry we call CrossHope Radio.
You have been listening to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to CrossHope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of CrossHope Ministries.